in 2 Kings chapter 5. And you're familiar with the story, and we all know that he had to dip into in the Jordan River 7 times to be healed of his leprosy. But I think the story also shows that in addition to the 7 dips that he had to do, there were 7 steps that he had to take of humiliation, 7 steps of humility that he had to take. And if he had stopped at the 3rd or stopped at the 5th, he would not have been healed. And of course, we emphasize that if he stopped at the 5th dip, which is true, he would not have been healed. But also, there are different steps here that if he had stopped at any of those steps, he would not have made it to his healing. And the first verse says that he was a great man with his master, the king of Syria, and he was honorable or had in great respect. And it says that by him, Jehovah, the Lord of the Israelites, had given deliverance to Syria. Often with people like this, it's difficult for such people to take advice, to take counsel from others, right? He commands armies, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of men listen to him and go where he says to go, when he says to go. And likely he was not familiar with being advised or familiar with being counseled and told what you needed to do. But he has this thing where he's a leper. And in the second verse, it says that the captive, the little maid girl out of the land of Israel, tells his wife, "I wish my master were in Samaria with the prophet there who would recover him of his leprosy." And what Naaman has to do here, which is his first step of humility, is he has to accept the counsel first of his wife, because the maid doesn't come to him. He accepts the counsel of his wife, which is difficult for most husbands, but particularly for the captain of the host of Syria, it would have been difficult for him to accept counsel from his wife, to say, "You know better than me what's going to cure my leprosy." Secondly, that's the first step. Secondly, he had to accept the counsel of his wife to say that he should accept the counsel of this little girl, who was a foreign slave girl, not even a foreign slave man, but a foreign slave girl, which would of course been difficult for him to accept. How could this God of this foreign slave be any more powerful than my God, seeing that she is a slave because we defeated her God and her people? Thirdly, he had to accept the counsel of that God. He had to actually accept that that God could potentially have more power than his God. Later in the chapter, in verse 18, he talks about him worshiping in the house of Rimmon. That was one of the gods of the Syrians. And so he had frequently gone to worship Rimmon. So he had to accept here that the God of this inferior people is more mighty than Rimmon. Rimmon obviously couldn't cure his leprosy, but now this God is supposedly going to cure him. Now, these first 3 steps are difficult of themselves, but at least they were private. He at least could have just believed that in his heart, and you know, the woman said that, okay, and that's right. But then he had to take the next step, which was to go publicly and tell the king that he accepted these counsel. That you're going to this king and say that the inferior people whose armies I have defeated, they have a God that can cure my leprosy. And imagine the humility that would have taken for him to go. But he goes through that step. He makes it through this 4th step of humility. Then the 5th step, he goes to Israel, to Samaria. And you can imagine it's not just the king that he stands before, it's the court of the king who has soldiers, probably soldiers on whom he has against whom he has raised the sword, probably soldiers there whose comrades he has killed. And he says before them, "I need your help. I need your help. I, who have mightily charged into battle against you, or who have denounced you, who have probably disrespected you, who have killed your friends and loved ones, I need your help. And I believe that your God can help me, and that your God is greater than my God." So now we have the 5th step of humility for him to go to the king before these other people and acknowledge he needs their help. The 6th step is that Elisha doesn't come to the palace. Elisha should have come and met him in the palace grounds and said, "Okay, that's where I'm going to wave my hand and do something magical and heal you." Mm-hmm. But rather it says that Elisha says, "Let him come to me." That's verse 8. "Let him come now to me." And so he has to get up out of the palace. He was probably staying in a nice room there, probably had servants helping him even in the palace of the king of Israel. And he has to pack up his chariot, pack up his people, and go to the house, the humble, lowly house of Elisha, the 6th step of humility. And all of these steps, difficult as each individual one was, he made it. Mm-hmm. He made it. And all of those were points, if he had turned back at any of those points, he would not have been healed. But the seventh step of humility now, we pick up in verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away.
The last straw.
The last straw. It's too much. I mean, I can accept counsel from my wife, this little girl. Okay, your God's better than mine. Okay, all of this other stuff. But this was too much. I'm not going to go and dip in your dirty water. And this is very significant because here he says, of course, he's upset because he thought he was going to wave his hand, etc. But verse 12, he says, "Aren't Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" He actually isn't just identifying that these rivers are better than the Jordan. But notice he says they're better than all the waters of Israel, which is really just an ignorant, prejudiced statement, right? Mm-hmm. He's just saying it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's Jordan or Dead Sea or whatever it is, our water is better than your water, right? All of the water of Israel. And we see here that he had overcome the, I mean, it's difficult for me to accept counsel from my wife. It's difficult for me to accept counsel from a little girl. It's difficult for me to accept that you might know better than me. Your God may be better than mine. That's difficult enough. But this was his sticking point. Mm-hmm. That he had maintained this concept. And I'm willing to be humble and go through all this other stuff, but I will not accept that there's any water in Israel better than the water in Syria. And like she said, that was his last straw. He almost was not healed. Of course, you know, he does eventually go at the urging of a servant, which is another step of humility, an actually additional step. That wasn't a step that God put in the plan. That was a step that was added to help him take the last step. So that was like step 7A or seven, something like that. But he was able to finally make that last step of humility. And there are three observations I think we can draw from this. First, all of those 7 steps were personal. And when I say that, they were commandments, basically, that God was giving to Naaman. There were things that God said, if you're going to be healed, Naaman, you, Naaman, have to go through each of these 7 steps. For other lepers in the New Testament that are healed by Jesus, they didn't have to go through these 7 steps. For other people to be saved, they didn't have to go through these 7 steps. These steps were personal for Naaman, necessary for him. Also, remember what the servant says, if the prophet bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If the prophet had said, take a band of 300 men and go against this mighty army, and if you do that, you'll be healed, he would have done it without question. But that wasn't his step. That was Gideon's step. Gideon's act of faith was to accept that God was going to save him with just 300 men. But notice there's a difference. Gideon is not Naaman, and Naaman is not Gideon. And so the first thing we can see is that our steps, my steps, are not your steps, which are not your steps, which are not your steps. All of us, God knowing us individually, knowing what areas in which we need to trust him, knowing what areas are personal to us, knowing what our pet pride is. Now, maybe I'm willing to listen to my wife, but I'm not willing to go and say that your country is better than mine. I'm willing to say my country is not as great as yours, but I'm not willing to listen to my wife. Whatever the step is, they're personal. And each of us, God sends us on a path and says, you're not going to make it to the end unless you make these steps. So the first thing is that all the steps were personal. But secondly, all of the steps were required. He couldn't skip. It wasn't enough that he did 6 great steps, admirable steps. That was not enough. And similarly for us, all of us, I mean, the fact that we work here, we've taken some steps of faith, right? There are many ways in which our life that we've taken steps of faith, taken steps of humility, taken steps of saying, I'm going to go the way that God is directing me. But all steps are required. It may be some little step, maybe some small thing that, again, is personal, that's not for everyone. Maybe that step for me means I need to stop spending as much time on Facebook as I spend. Maybe that's not for everyone, but maybe that's for me. Maybe I need to take up another office at church. Maybe I've been too lazy and haven't been willing to give of my abilities in church. Maybe the step is I need to step back from some of the offices at church because they're taking up the time I could spend with my family or time I could be spending in devotion. Maybe the steps are I need to leave this great job, or maybe the step is I need to give more of myself at this job. Whatever those steps are, they're personal. And where another person may excel in that same step, and I may be deficient in that, I can't be distracted by them. And the reverse is also true. I can't be distracted by the fact that I excel in one area and you struggle in this area. All the steps are personal, but all of the steps are required. And the last observation is that by the grace of God, by the grace of God and that alone, all the steps were completed. It was the grace of God that gave that servant the courage to stand up to his master and say, come on, come on, man. If it was some great thing, you would do it. But that wasn't a part of it. That wasn't anything that Naaman did to get that servant to do that. It was the grace of God that said, Naaman's about to fall off. He's not going to make it through this last step. I can't let that happen. I'm going to move on this servant to have the courage to stand up to his master, an offense that could have been punished by death, and rebuke his master. God moved him to do that. He did it. And by the grace of God, all the steps were completed. And similarly for us, it's only by the grace of God that we've passed any steps. But also by that same grace, I believe God, as you've seen it, all of us have seen it, that we misstep, we mess up, we don't do all that we should do, we're unfaithful, we ignore certain areas, but we have this grace of God that comes and nudges us on it, that sometimes through our wife, sometimes through a preacher, sometimes through time in the Bible, sometimes through a friend, through different ways, God says, come on, come on, pay attention, don't forget this, you got to make this step, you got to go this place, and by that grace, we can make it. We'll just close with prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for your mercy shown even to this heathen captain of an army. We thank you that same grace is open and available and even more abundantly available to us in this day. We pray for your blessing, that we will have the grace of Christ to urge us on. You know where each of us needs to make some decisions. You know where each of us needs to be a little more faithful. You know where each of us needs to give more attention to different areas. And I pray by the grace of Christ that you will empower us to do it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Very good.
So many good things. One little
song. It's great.
But one thing, the God's name is not mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah, they rarely are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's not mentioned.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't complete this step. That's good. Yeah.
Some untold stories, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, his wouldn't be, it wouldn't have made it if he hadn't listened to the manuscript. Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.